What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 201. And of course, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and of course keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How about you? I'm just I'm ready for Thanksgiving, but I'm not actually gonna have any turkey this year. So
wait.
No.
What?
Yep.
No turkey?
No. I mean, we had a Thanksgiving thing at work on Monday and I had turkey then, but there won't be any turkey tomorrow. We're doing brunch. I have a brunch at like 10 a.m. tomorrow and then a dinner, and we're doing like a gourmet loaded baked potato bar type of thing. So,
but it's okay. So, like, you're not like going vegan or
no, okay. just no turkey.
I've had 4 Thanksgiving dinners,
and it's Wednesday,
and it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Well, a lot of Friendsgiving, so I had 3 Friendsgivings, and then I was at Whole Foods and I was just like, it was in the middle of the day and I needed to get lunch, and they had, like, you know, Whole Foods has like their buffet.
Yeah.
But they had like Thanksgiving dinner there, and I was
loaded
like,
up. Yeah.
It was very expensive, but it was really good at the same time. So
cool.
But yeah, I have like 2 more dinners, so I'll be, you know, a good 20 pounds heavier. Man. I feel after this week, I think, just with all the eating and everything like that. But yeah, guys, let's not talk about me getting fat. Let's talk about tech. and we'll start with our reviews this week. And I took a look at another Corsair lighting product. We talked about it last week, and we have their IQLS100. And this is kind of their take on smart light strips. So we've seen smart light strips. We all know RGB strips are light strips.
Yeah.
Smart light strips are a little bit harder to find, you know, ones that you can control with software.
Sure.
You know, we have them from Razer, NZXT, maybe a couple others. I don't know who else really offers ones with full software control. But this is Corsair's take on it. So they've done things a little bit differently than other companies. When you think of, you know, like a light strip or an RGB strip, you think of this really thin, you know, really thin strip. Yep.
Thin strip with some adhesive on the back and a little white remote that looks like this.
Yeah, there you go. well, what they've done is they've made these strips a little bit bigger. You can see they're much bigger. And they've put this diffuser on it. And that's the good part about it. So the diffuser obviously makes it so if you've ever attached light strips to, say, like the back of a desk, you can see each individual LED.
Yeah. I'm glad they've really started to go with this diffused light, because it still looks good, you know, with the normal older style, but this makes it look so much better.
Yeah, so the diffuser is awesome on the strip. And then you see these little squares right here. So these little squares are actually magnetic, which is really cool. So instead of having like, you know, 3M adhesive on the bottom, they actually give you these little squares that you attach the squares to whatever you're attaching this to.
Okay.
And then the light strips just kind of click in because they're magnetic. And this has its pros and cons, I would say. One is that if you want to mount these somewhere else, you're kind of screwed because you've already attached the little squares to whatever you're mounting them to.
Is it a pretty strong magnetic
grip? it's not crazy strong. Like, you can, it's strong enough where you can put these upside down on something. Okay. But it's like, if you bump them, the strip will fall off
pretty easily. Then
not pretty easily. Okay. But if you bump it, it's going to fall off.
Okay.
I don't think that's as much of an issue, because again, these strips are designed to either go behind a monitor or like go on a desk. You know, but I just think that once you run out of these little squares, you know, once you install this somewhere else, you're kind of screwed. But I think in the same way, the other ones are kind of like that too, because like once you use that adhesive, it's going to be hard to stick it on something else. So I guess you're kind of screwed both ways. But the thing that's interesting about these is that they are thick. So my whole idea is I actually wanted them to put them on the outside of this new desk I have. But they're too thick for that. It just doesn't look right because you have this black piece and all of that.
And then you have the cabling in between the strips themselves.
Yeah, it's just not like cohesive to that. So What I did is I actually installed them on the bottom side of the desk, and they look really good. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know why they're so thick, you know?
Yeah, because especially, you know, does this use their Capellix LEDs? Do you happen to know?
I'm not sure. Because
those are, you know, even smaller and less power. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious, too, why they are so thick. Because the diffuser really doesn't look like it's that thick.
Yeah, if I go back to the second page here, you know, if you go in, or wait, that's the first page. If you look at it, I mean, what is all this? Because here's the diffuser, and then LED strip should be, like, super thin, and that should be it.
Now, are they flexible at all?
Yeah, they do bend.
Okay.
So you can technically bend these.
I don't know what all the space is.
Yeah, so that was just kind of like, it kind of limits, I guess, where you can put these. Again, Corsair really designs these for the back of a monitor, so they're just going to put that out there. Like, it's not really going to matter how thick they are if they're behind a monitor, you know what I mean? But if you want to mount them to, like, the edges of your desk, it's just not going to look right, in my opinion. So what I did is I installed them on the bottom of the desk. And then it comes with this little controller here. This is their LS100 controller. It has a USB that goes into your computer for control. Then it has power. And then you have two inputs for RGB control. So the single kit that you get, that's $119. That comes with two long strips and two short strips, which should be more than enough for a decent sized desk, as well as more than enough for a ultra wide monitor. Like a dual monitor setup, you might need get it. They have extensions and things like that that you can buy. But that should be more, like, the starter kit should be more than enough for most people.
Yeah.
And then everything, of course, because they're called IQ LS100, everything's controlled within IQ. So, you know, under your devices, you'll see the LS100 starter kit. And then what you do is, under your lighting setup, you have your lighting channels. And, you know, we use both channels because we had some extensions that they sent us as well. And then, you know, I selected external RGB light strips. You can select monitor, you know, and then the order that you have it in. So I had two, or how many strips are connected. So I had two short strips and three long strips connected to this one. And then I had one short strip and two long strips connected to the second channel. And then once you have everything set up, you can go in and set your settings. And what's really cool, because this is ARGB, not just RGB, is I could actually go in here and select
each individual
RGB LED. You can see in real time, like with these, if I was in the app, I could move strip over to here. You know what I mean? Like, I could just move them in the order. Just drag it over. Yeah, I can move them in the order that they would go in, which is really cool. So you really have full control on what these are doing, which is really great. You can link them together. Of course, you can link them with other Corsair RGB lighting, like fans in your case or whatever it may be.
Yep.
The software is awesome. It works great. Here's like where I just selected a handful of RGBs. You know, you can go ahead and do that. And it looks really good. I installed these on the bottom side of a desk, but you can even see, even though they're installed on the bottom, you have a lot of...
Yeah, it gives a good glow on the wall behind there, you know?
Yeah.
So is there quite a bit of light that comes out the side then, since that diffuser is kind of thick? It's not just shining out the top of it, but it looks like obviously some light comes out the side as well.
Yeah, so the light comes out the side a lot. I was actually surprised at how much light these give off, even though like my desk is, you know, decently high off the ground.
Right.
There's a lot of room for like the light to go places, I would say. But yeah, I mean, it lights up very well. You can see the different colors here. I mean, it really, it really lights things up, especially if you're in a darker room. Yep. It just looks great. And what's cool is like, it's with the software. So there's a lot of cool things you can do. You can do like tracking LEDs. Like in our case, you know, we could have like, say like tracking LEDs that start here and go all the way across. You can have them react to music. You can have them react to games. You can do a lot of stuff with these. So it's really full RGB control. We weren't able to test it, but they do have much like the NZXT ambient kit, where it reacts to what's going on in your game. We didn't attach them to a monitor, we weren't able to test that. But from what I've seen, you know, it works really well. You know, you can see just like how much light they give off, but they're definitely really bright. I like the change as far as the diffuser. I think that that's been needed on RGB strips for a long time.
Yeah.
But just because of how thick they are, they're not as easy to attach to certain things, if that makes sense. As far as like, it would just look weird with a thick thing coming off the edge of my desk. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they work fine, like on the bottom or even on the back edge. It probably wouldn't be so bad. But yeah, that thickness and bulkiness of them is kind of odd. But
and that's one thing that I really wish it would have happened. So when you, so these right here, the three in the middle, those are the magnetic ones. But the magnetic part is only on the back. Okay. So it's, I mean, it's only on the bottom. So like this part right here, on the side, that's not magnetic. Now, if that was, I could line these up flush with the back of my desk and it wouldn't look as weird. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like, I wish that was a thing, I guess. But like I said, for smart LED strips or smart RGB LED strips, they work great. You're going to get full control. If you're already in the Corsair ecosystem, it kind of just makes sense.
Exactly.
You know, like you're already in the Corsair ecosystem. You can have, if you have, you know, Corsair keyboard and mouse, and you might have some Corsair fans in your system.
Everything's synced up.
You can have everything synced up. It just makes sense. I don't think the price is too outrageous. $119, which would cover pretty much like this desk is super big, so it wouldn't cover this whole desk, but it would cover the entire back of the desk.
Two long strips, two short strips, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And that would cover like a 34 inch ultra wide. It would cover that no problem. It would cover pretty much, you know, most things. It's just if you wanted dual monitors, like dual larger monitors, you might want to get an extension. And they do sell extensions. Yep. I think I have the links to, or the, well, maybe I don't, to the extensions. Well, I don't, but the extensions aren't that much more because again, the starter kit does come with the controller. It comes with everything else. Just the extensions are just the strips. So you can, you know, go ahead and add them in. And what's nice about it is that you can add them in. Sometimes you're kind of just like set with what you have. You can add more strips. There is a limit because of the, power requirement.
Yeah. The impedance and everything.
Yeah. But you should, they sent us both extensions, the 250 millimeter and the 400 or 450 millimeter. I didn't even use all of that on this massive desk. So for most applications, you should be fine.
Cool.
So check out the review. Like I said, I gave it 9 out of 10. Again, the only cons of it is that one, it's thicker than other RGB strips. So it kind of limits where you might want to put it. And I didn't mention that the diffuser, because of what it's made out of, I dropped one on the floor or on the ground and it just picked up dust. Like it's a dust magnet. So
kind of a rubbery feel to it
Yeah. Oh man. When you play games with a backlight, I think I do like it more. I've come used to it. Like when I got that NZXT kit, I just like having the backlight. Even now, like I have the lights on behind my screen and it's
sure.
Yeah,
I don't have mine on. I do now.
You got to have them on, man.
Got them on.
Yeah.
There we go.
But yeah, guys, check out that review. It's good. I used to have RGB strips just on my desk, and then I got that NZXT kit and put them on my monitor, and I love them behind the monitor. I've gotten so many questions about it too. Like it just completes my whole setup. It's just awesome. Cool. So definitely check out that review. And then I took a look at some storage and some portable storage and some pretty hefty portable storage.
Yeah, like
that's
a decent amount of portable storage.
Yeah, I took a look at WD's My Passport. This is the 2019 version. They've increased the capacity to 5 terabytes, which is the highest. Well, you can technically get more storage, but for like a portable drive by a reputable company, 5 terabytes is kind of where the max is right now. And the thing I like about it is that this drive is still pocketable. Like I can still put this drive in my pocket. It's bigger than say an SSD, but I can still put it in my pocket and it's 100% bus powered. So it's a single cable. You don't need extra power for this or anything like that.
Do you have it around?
I did have it. I have it plugged in.
Oh, sorry.
It's over there.
I just
but it's like it's out of reach.
How big it is in your hand?
Yeah, it's not very big. It's like their standard size. It can be pocketed. And that's what I really like about it. They have it at different capacities. I think it starts at 1 terabyte and goes up to 5 terabytes for this. Very affordable as well. Uses USB 3.2 Gen 1. So basically USB 3.1, since they changed the name all the time. but yeah, it is a great little drive. The only issue that I had with it is that it uses a Type A cable. And being a portable drive. So many Ultrabooks and, of course, MacBooks. This does work with Mac.
No Type A port.
There's no Type A port. Even an adapter I would have been fine with. We've seen portable drives come with adapters.
Sure.
I just would have liked to see that just for the fact that it's, you know, it's a portable drive. And, like, there's not a whole lot of Ultrabooks that have Type A ports anymore. And if they do, they're like a legacy USB 2.0, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, but the drive itself, like I said, very small, very portable. What's really weird is that for the 5 terabyte version, it's only available in this black here. It's not available in blue or red, which anything 4 terabyte and below is. So that's a little odd to me.
It's kind of weird.
But the great thing about this is, and what WD has done for a while, is that they have software and you don't have to pay extra for it. You know, when you get like a hard drive, you get like a trial or you get, you know, like a year free or whatever of some software, and then you maybe have to buy it later, or it's not the company's software. So if something happens, you really can't deal with the company that you actually bought the drive from. Well, with WD, it's all their software. So they have a really nice software package that does everything from backup to security to everything. It's all here. Their backup software is super simple. You set a backup. You can set it to, you know, you select your drive. You select how often you want it to backup. And then you can select different files, different folders, whatever you want to backup every, you know, again, I had it set for hourly, but it's super easy to set up. And then the security, you can set a password on the drive. This drive does offer hardware encryption, which some other drives do not. You have that in there as well. You can also, through their discovery software, like download your complete social media profile, which might be, you know, might be good. If that's something you want to do, like you're closing out your Facebook account, you want to download it.
Back everything up, right?
Yeah, this software actually allows you to do that as well. It's just a full package, and that's what I kind of like about this drive when compared to other drives. Like other drives will give you, again, like access to some software for a little bit of time, but you don't get the full version or something like that. You have everything here. It comes on the drive. You don't have to download anything. You know what I mean? You just run it from the drive itself. Right. It's just a good drive. Like I said, I didn't really have any issues. It performs just like any of these drives would, around like 130 megabytes a second.
Yeah, and regarding performance, Old Man was asking if they're using SMR technology, and they are
This drive. That's something they've newly implemented in the drive. I think it's what allows them to get higher capacity.
Yep.
So like I said, it performs just like any, you know, USB 3.1 drive would be, as far as like being a normal hard drive. And I think it's good. I think if you need a lot of storage, this is an easy solution. It's also one that you could just plug in and it will back up all your stuff. You know what I mean? Like you can set the software, so when you plug it in, it just backs everything up. Yeah. So it's pretty easy to work with there. The 5 terabyte version is $128.49. A slight premium, I would say, for given capacity.
That's not too bad though, honestly. I mean, form factor, you know, the software you get. I think that's a pretty respectable price there. And the fact that, you know, like you said, hooking it up to your laptop and backing up automatically, like you just take that around all your PCs in your house that have the software on them, you know, run it through, get it back up, and then go take that thing down to like your safe deposit box at the bank, and there's your backup, right? Just like throw it in there, and that'd be good. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, like I said, when it comes to the portable drives, I love my Passport. I've reviewed probably at least 7 or 8 of them over the past few years. I mean, and the thing is I talk about in the review is like when they started doing the My Passport drives, it was just a drive. You didn't get any software. You didn't get anything. WD, you know, made the investment and now they have a full software package. So you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about like, now I have to go research backup software. Like, what should I get? You know, I don't have to pay a monthly fee to use a certain piece of software or whatever, you know, it's all there. So that's what I really like about it. So check out that review. I gave this one a 9 out of 10. And again, the only issue that I really had with it, there's no type C cable, I think, in this day and age.
You got to start including that.
If it's a portable drive, I get if it's not a portable drive, because PCs that we're going to have a type A, but yeah. If it's a portable drive, Ultrabooks, Macs, it's all type C now. So you, at least include an adapter, if not the entire cable. That's the only thing. Yep. So let's move on to other stuff. And I finally completed I haven't completed my desk setup because it's ever evolving. And I've already looked at stuff I want to get for it. But I completed the video going over one cable management. You guys complained to me so much about the cable management on my setup. It was bad.
It was a little bit of a mess.
It was a complete mess. And yeah. I didn't address it when I first built it, because for me, I wanted to get the desk built and then get up and running, because it wasn't just a setup that I just have sitting over here. It's like what I use for work.
What you use. Yeah, exactly.
So I had to get it set up and just done. And at the time I didn't have everything that I needed. Like I got these really cool under desk cable trays that help hide everything. It just worked out really well. Yeah. I'll bring up me in the video here. Hey. So here's all the stuff that I did. So again, I go over installing the IQ LS100 that we talked about. I have the under desk cable trays. I have a monitor arm now. So my monitor that's in front of me is on a monitor arm, so I can move it back and forward.
Yeah. And the headset holder that you got, I have one very similar, and it looks like it's probably from the same company, the little under desk piece. Mine was like a rubber one. And I liked it, but the adhesive just ended up falling off, with headsets after some time. So I'm curious to see how long yours lasts, but yours was like aluminum or metal. So that was cool.
The actual, you can kind of see it right here. Yep. I had that Cooler Master one. I liked it. It had a wireless charger. But the thing about the wireless charger, and that was kind of the reason I didn't want to stick with it, is that it set my phone flat. Mm-hmm. And I want to see notifications. I don't want to have to pick up my phone all the time. Right. So I have one that actually picks my phone up, which you can see here. I wanted to go to this part of the video because I'm very proud of my cable management. The only cables coming down is my network here and
some power,
and that's it. These cable trays are just amazing. You put all your cables in there. You don't have to worry about it. It looks great. Let's see if I, on the desk itself, I have that little anchor charger right here. I have my Alexa right there, which mine's going to go off now. I got this massive
Master, right?
Yeah, it has RGB lighting. And when I have the lights on, you can't see the RGB lighting as much. But I love the big mouse mat. Got it in and I was like, I don't even know if I'm actually going to use this, but I do like using it. It just makes it so I have one cohesive workspace, if that makes sense. So I have that. It just works. It works. The whole thing worked out really well for me. Like I said, everything in it, it has just worked out really well. And I go over everything in the video. I go over all of my all the stuff I used, how I did it, all that kind of stuff. So definitely check out this video. It's better for you guys to watch it than me try to tell you about it and click through the video. So definitely check that out. It's on our YouTube page. So I had a lot of fun with that one. That one was a lot of fun to do. And I feel like I accomplished something. Like when you do a regular video review, you're like, okay, video review's done. But this, it impacts me every day because I'm sitting at the desk setup and I'm here every day. So
I really liked that. I think that arm's going to be real functional for you. You bring it forward when you're working on something, and then at the end of the day or whatever, just pushing it back a little bit out of the way,
I thought
that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And the guys in the chat about the RX 5500, we don't know when it's going to be released yet. We will be talking about it here in just a little bit as we get down to our news. So definitely hang out and I don't know when it's gonna be released. I don't know, but hopefully it will be soon. But we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And I finally picked a build that has nothing to do with travel. The last 2 weeks we had a suitcase mod. And then the week after that, we had a sort of lap. I guess you would call it
It was that Iron Patriot, right?
Or the Iron
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. But this week we have a build inside of the Thermaltake Core P90. This is called the Core P90 Royalita from High Resolution Computer Shop. I forget what country they're out of, but they do amazing work, and all their builds are so good. And they like take really great pictures of their stuff as well. So this is the build, and there's so much going on, and it's because it's like in because of the glass, it's kind of hard to see. But there's custom resin here, you know. There's custom. Pretty much everything here is custom, but it's just so well done. I'll try to scroll through these if I can. Why isn't it not letting me scroll through for some reason?
Yeah, I mean, they've got some, you know, like all the lines look really nice on, you know, the angles that they chose for their tubing and everything looks nice. Yeah. Everything looks like it was meant to be there and bend that way. So
and the color scheme is like the coolant matches the fittings really well, and the cabling, it's done so well. I'm trying to find a good picture where you can see kind of like, so this is like it's not necessarily rest, but it runs the different tubing from side to side, and you can kind of see it. It's a custom
like the plate distribution there. Plate.
Yeah, it's a custom distribution plate that they made. That's like really awesome. Yeah. So it's, you know, like I said, it's just a really good build. All the lines are great. You can see the custom res over here as well, which looks really cool. There's so much going on. It's so hard to see. But everything is great with this. High Resolution Computer Shop does a great job. So definitely check out this build. And as I always say, check out Case Mod Friday. We have so many builds in there. So if you're looking for, you know, just some motivation to do your own build,
some ideas,
just to see what's possible. Or if you're new to modding, you don't even know what it's about, go in there and you'll be like, holy crap, people do that with computers. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there. So definitely go ahead and check that one out. And then we have our contest still going on. So we are still giving away 3 of Corsair's IQ QL120 RGB fans. We reviewed those a couple weeks ago. And they're great. They have 36 RGB LEDs in each fan. This is super easy to enter, guys. You can unlock a ton of different entries by, you know, doing different things. Obviously, it's just a way for us to get back to you guys. So definitely, you know, enter if you can. It is US only. We're kind of limited on this one. But if you are in the US, definitely get your entry in. There's 20 days left. So a lot of
plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time. And you could probably, you know, if you're a winner, you can get it just in time for Christmas or whatever. So really cool. So definitely get your entry in for that. And we are on to news. And this first story is like
something pretty cool.
It's really awesome. I don't remember anybody else doing something like this. And it kind of just like brings you back to the old days where people actually did like kind of crazy mods to graphics cards, I guess. So somebody modded a RTX 2080 Ti, and they took the 14 gigabit GDDR6 memory off of it, and they upgraded it to 16 gigabit GDDR6. So again, the RTX 2080 Ti ships with 14 gigabit, and you can technically overclock that, but the overclocking headroom isn't great, and you're not going to get great performance. So what they did is they've actually taken the 16 gigabit GDDR6 off of an RTX 2080 Super and put it on the card, which that in itself is like crazy. You're sacrificing
one card.
They sacrifice two cards.
Sure.
They sacrifice two cards to get the memory off. Then they sacrifice almost ruining a 2080 Ti by putting it back on, but they completed it very awesomely.
It worked.
It worked, which is the crazy thing. So it worked. It recognized it. It put it as 14 gigabit, but then they just manually overclocked, which again, if you're running 16 gigabit at 14, your overclocking headroom is going to be through the roof. So they overclocked it, and they got it all the way up to 17.2, And they have, you know, some benchmarks and things like that.
That's awesome.
They're calling it the world's first RTX 20 Ti Super, which
sure,
this is kind of like what we expect, although there might be more CUDA cores unlocked and things like that on the 2080 Ti Super. But that's just really cool. Hats off to these guys. We have their video in the article if you want to check it out. But I mean, could you imagine just soldering this stuff? Like,
no, not at all. Like, it sounds crazy to me. Like, I don't even want to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm anxious about taking this cooler off of my 2070 Super, let alone desoldering ICs and putting them back on another card.
You know, when we reviewed some NVMe coolers, and like, mm-hmm. even putting that on top of my NVMe, like, I was scared a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And to do this, and to have, like, I feel like I'm too jittery, like, like the solder, these little solder points and everything.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But yeah, they did it. That's just really cool. Definitely check out the video. I just think it's awesome. I think that's pretty cool. The community needs more cool things like this to happen. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. That's really, really cool. But talking about, you know, super cards, it looks like, NVIDIA could be
some mobile chips, huh?
Yeah. Could be, oops, wrong one. Could be, releasing both RTX and GTX super cards for notebooks. This is kind of expected, is because AMD will be releasing their RX 5000 series on mobile. We've seen the leaks. We talked about them. There will be RX 5000 M series cards coming out. So this is going to make it so, you know, the RTX 2060 Super Mobile obviously performs better than whatever AMD is coming out with.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really... Again, this is one of those... Do we really need a super version in the mobile, you know, space? Yeah. But it's also kind of expected. You're always going to get a mobile version of what they've got out. I just think that with the whole super line, just adds more complexity to it.
It adds more complexity. I like, again, we have talked about this on the desktop side too. I like that it gives the consumers more for their money, right? Yeah. The 2080 shouldn't exist, as I talked about. The 2070 is great upgrade, 15% upgrade from the previous gen. Like, that's good to me.
Yep.
It's reactionary. You know what I mean? That's just all I have to say about it at this point.
Yeah.
It's just reactionary to what AMD is doing, which is good. Competition brings us consumers better pricing
and better prices.
Yeah. So I'm happy about that for sure. So yeah, and then also on the graphics card side, we said we were going to talk about the RX 5500. The guys over at Heise, is that how you say that? Heise?
It's a German one. Probably, yeah.
So I said Heise. They got their hands on a RX 5500. It's an OEM card. And they tested it against an aftermarket RX 580 and a GTX 1660, the non-super, and it performed really well. It's kind of like almost on the performance of, say, a stock RX 580, and I think that's good for AMD because that line, that what was before the 580, the 480, right?
480, yeah.
Yeah, and like that's been the same product, right?
Yeah, they just, yeah.
Yeah,
slap a new badge on it.
Yeah, it's been the same product, and to get out of that, it's on the new architecture. You know what I mean? I think that's going to be a killer for AMD. I think a lot of people have been wanting lower cost AMD cards. I know the 5700 and 5700 XT aren't terribly expensive, but there are people that want to spend, you know, a couple hundred bucks on a graphics card. That's what they have, and they're AMD fans, and they want. This they've been waiting for this.
Yeah, they'll hold out, you know, keep running their, you know, 480 or 580 or whatever they've got. And
yeah. They did run it. It like I said, performed right about to an RX 580. Again, it all depends on the game that they tested on. Because this is out here, it's in the wild, in the chat asking like when it will come out. I would say pretty soon. You know. That is definitely, like I said, it definitely has to be coming out soon. We have a link to their review. It's not like a super in-depth review, but
I mean, I could see it coming out before Christmas.
I could see it coming out before Christmas, just for the fact that like it's a lower cost part. A lot of people would be buying at Christmas time.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see it. It's exciting. I think for us, like the low end isn't super exciting, but I think it's exciting for a lot of people because
that market's so huge.
Yeah.
Which is what we always forget as enthusiasts. You know, we focus on like the mid to high range enthusiast parts, but that beginner level, entry level market is so big that, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, it's the bigger market. And I think AMD has, hopefully they have a strong product. I've got asked twice this week, is the 5700 actually a good card? Like, should I actually get that? I'm upgrading. Like, and I said, yeah, like for the price compared to a 2070 or 2070 Super, like it's a good card. Yep. Like AMD has their shit together. You know what I mean? I think for the lower end, this is going to be great for AMD. It's just another win for AMD. So check out, like I said, we have linked down here at the bottom to their testing and things like that. You can check it out. But hopefully we see it soon, and hopefully we get a couple in to review, and we'll tell you what we think about it. So pretty excited to see if that happens. And this was really interesting this week. We typically don't talk about other websites or anything like that, but finally, you know, this week, both high-end desktop parts came out. So we have Intel and AMD 10 series high-end desktop parts, as well as Threadripper 3. Both came out technically on the same day. But
a little bit of shifting of release times, it sounded like.
Yes. So Intel changed their embargo so that people could launch the reviews at midnight.
Yeah, it was like super early.
AMD's was like at 9 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know when it was because we didn't receive the products. I didn't know these specifics. But what that did is that made it so if you're a launch partner and you should have your review ready to go. If it's at midnight, have your review ready and launch posted it at there, midnight. Right. One, because you want to like show the brand that, hey, yeah, I tested this, like it's good to go. Like, you know, you can count on me for launch day reviews. Secondly, is because of traffic. And if you're a review site, more traffic means more money typically. Yeah. You're anybody. I mean, or if you're a YouTuber, just like, you know, Linus was the one who really called out AMD on this, or called out Intel on this, is that you want, as soon as you're able to post it, you want it online because you want those views.
Yep.
So what Intel did, which is very shady, I would say, or as Linus said, pathetic, as it says in the title, is that they changed their launch time to midnight, which basically meant if you wanted to be a launch review, meaning that at midnight your review was online, because of AMD's NDA, which was hours later, you could not technically compare Intel's high-end desktop parts to AMD's. You couldn't. Yep. And the whole reason is because AMD is going to beat Intel.
Right. And well, and the sad thing is everybody sees through it, right? Like it's so blatantly obvious.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, even Linus's video, he said, like, we're not idiots, and everybody's going to see through that.
Right.
Like they're launching on the same day. Why don't these reviews have Threadripper 3 in them?
Well, yeah, and people are the thing is that Threadripper comes out later in the day, and it's gonna then have those Intel graphs anyhow. So you're not doing yourself any good.
It just makes you look worse. Yep. I mean, we get it. Like you're stuck. Like your process node's stuck, and you're gonna have to like eat shit for a year. You know, in these spaces, and that's fine. You've already dropped your prices, which is great. Doesn't make you look so crazy, but like, just like man up and just, you know. But again, they have shareholders. There's all these things that come into it. I don't know who made this decision at Intel, but any smart person who like knows the space as far as like the enthusiast space would just be like, no, like we got to take this hit. It's still a good part for the price, you know?
Sure.
and what you're getting and everything like that and what it offers, but it doesn't beat the competition, and we're going to have to take that for a year until we get our process node figured out. Like,
yeah, you know? It's just crappy business practices. Like you said, you know, just it's playing with numbers and, you know, just not giving the whole story to your potential consumers, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not. I mean, we've seen this before, but not this egregious, I would say. It's just not great. So yeah, that's all I really have to say about it. I agree with Linus and what he's saying. It doesn't make, again, any, as when he did say in his video, which we do have linked in our show notes, is that when talking about products, the launch reviews are the ones that get referenced the most. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, here's a review of the 10 series. It's a launch review, so it doesn't have the graphs for the previous one. So those are the reviews that get referenced the most when comparing and when talking about a product. And if those graphs aren't there, it makes your product look better than what it actually is. So I agree with him. I think people at Intel are probably pissed that he put this video out. But I mean, the writing's kind of on the wall, I would say.
Yeah, I think if the big names like Linus and, you know, everybody else that kind of chimed in with their opinion didn't do that, then they'd be accused of, you know, being sellouts or taking Intel's cash, and in order for them to stay, keep their integrity, I think they have to call it out.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And old man said, competition's good. I mean, yeah, that's what it's about. It's like, I remember the wars between all the companies back in the day, and it's good to have that. But when you want to not cheat, because they're not cheating technically, but to deceive your own customer to say we're faster. And again, we saw it with, the thing about Intel is they've had this kind of like thing going on for like the past year and a half. Remember like the 5 gigahertz chip that was running on like a industrial grade cooler? I mean, these things,
you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, like we're enthusiasts. Like we understand that you're having a problem, and like that might make us not buy your product, but for you to do these things makes us not like your company and not want to support you when you do have a good product.
Right.
That's the difference, I would say. So on a better news, again, AMD did launch their two chips, which
I always 3960 and 3970.
3960 and 3970X, 24 core, 32 core, but they did announce that they will a 64 core Threadripper 3990X. We heard rumors about it, but we didn't know if it was true. They said, yes, this is coming out. It's coming out in 2020. 64 core, 128 threads, 288 megabytes of total cache, 280 watt TDP. No word on clocks or anything like that or price. The 32 core is $2,000 or $1,999. So 64 core could be $4,000. I don't think.
I bet it'll be $3,500.
$34.99.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. 2020, possibly CES.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's 2020.
Yeah, it technically is. 280 watt TDP is pretty nuts.
That's high. I mean, for high end desktop, yeah.
But you go back to 64 cores.
So it's pretty cool. It seems like this week's sort of like a win for AMD on all fronts, and it has been for a while. And they're just doing the right things. It could be 3 years down the line, and they might have a problem with their process node. You know what I mean?
Right.
Things happen. It's just, again, I don't like the whole idea of Intel just trying to trick us, because it's not a trick. We're smart. Right. And if we're not smart, other people are, and they're going to put it out there that things are going on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That brings us to also another AMD thing. AMD has completed their next CPU architecture, or this design phase. They haven't I guess they haven't put out the chip, but the design phase is done. So they held a presentation at SC19 conference that talks about high performance computing and everything like that. They said that the Zen 3 architecture design phase has been finished. And this is, you know, now AMD is on that TikTok phase. So you see a die shrink, and then you see an architecture change. Same thing. So Zen 3 will be 7 nanometer, or they're going to call it 7 nanometer plus because it's an improved process node. And that you should see around 15% faster IPC, which again makes sense, right? We're not going to see that massive jump,
right,
or anything like that. But yeah, it's great. They're on track. And that's the biggest thing with these is like, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it feels like they like have a solid plan moving forward, right? Like, and they're just doing good work and have a solid plan and are like confident in their upcoming products. It's really nice to see.
Well, that's the thing is too. It's like, you remember they basically took 2 years off on the CPU side.
You know, they did their homework and I think are reaping the benefits of it now.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're making the other guy not look very smart, you know? But yeah, I mean, that they took the loss, you know what I mean? They took the hit because there was no competition, and then they're coming out with all this stuff, and it's finally say, okay, it was worth taking the time out to completely redesign our CPU architecture and do all that. And now it's in the place. So I don't think we'll see Zen 3 later in 2020. You know what I mean? You won't see anything you won't see any products. Like, you're not going to see this at CES or anything like that. You're not going to see any products for a while. So, but later in 2020, you might see something. So definitely keep that in mind. And that brings us to gaming. We have 3 gaming stories this week. We talked about Half-Life Alyx last week.
Yep. Just briefly.
Briefly about it coming out. They announced their trailer, which, oh my God, it looks awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It makes me want to get the game. It makes me want to get a VR headset for this game.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's the whole idea behind this game.
Yeah, maybe sell some more headsets. Yeah. I know. I got kind of pumped and back into a VR thing. So, like, last Friday, I cleaned up my room, got it all situated. So I spent, like, 4 hours Friday night in VR, and then Saturday night I did the same thing, and so I'm like, maybe I should pre-order this Half-Life Alyx.
The trailer is so good. It makes you want to immerse yourself back into this, back into the Half-Life world and everything. And then they also released this at the, I think it was the Game Awards or whatever. They released this video talking about how the game came to light and everything, which is really interesting if you want to hear the story. And then they basically said, yeah, you can't play the game with keyboard and mouse, which I was really sad about. You know what I mean? Even if I lost some of the functionality, I think I would play the game with the keyboard and mouse just because Half-Life. So yeah, so definitely check that out. Nelson in the chat,
AMD kicking Intel's ass.
Yeah, AMD is kicking Intel's ass. You know, so yeah, it's they're doing good stuff. So yeah, it's just like I said, could you see me buying a headset for this?
Just for that? I mean, I wouldn't recommend anybody buying a headset to play one game, especially one that you haven't even played and is only available on pre-order. But if you're like already interested in VR,
I'm not,
and have, you know, tried it out maybe at a friend's house or demoed it somewhere and were liking it, I could see it being worth it.
Yeah. So. It's just the trailer, like, guys, I would just check out the trailer. And then old man says that
the $5 Steam controller.
Yeah, Steam controller. I still have one. I don't know where it's at.
I have two or three of them.
I used it for a while. I used it with my Steam machine, my old
You had a Steam machine, huh?
My Alienware Steam machine that I had. So yeah.
I picked them up on Black Friday sales previously, right? I got those. And then I think I have a couple Steam links as well.
Okay.
They've kind of canceled that, but I think I picked those up for like $2 bucks last year.
Yeah, I think I got,
cheap.
I got my Steam link for, I think, $5. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, this game just looks so good. And again, if you watch the trailer, it just brings you back into the Half-Life world. And it's like, I want this on a PC game. But hopefully, maybe this, again, VR games aren't going to sell as well as like an old PC game. But if, if this is like a thing, maybe we will see a Half-Life 3.
I hope.
Yeah. And of course, this brings Valve back into like actually coming out with games, which is a good thing too. So, so yeah, we'll keep you guys updated. I think we'll be buying you the game whenever it comes out, so you can tell us about it. So
sure, we'll stream some of it or
Something like that. Yeah. Also talking about sales, there's so many sales. I just saw Steam announce their fall sale as well. But Humble, the people behind Humble Bundle or Humble Bundle, sorry, Humble Bundle, they have their own store as well, and they sell a ton of games. And they're having their sale, and there's some interesting games that are on sale that weren't before, have never been on sale. One of them is Red Dead Redemption 2. It is, I believe,
47.99.
Yeah, I think it's 15% off. Of the normal price. They have a ton of games. Outer Worlds is, or no, that's 20% off. Outer Worlds is 25% off as well. I don't think that's ever been on sale either. But a ton of games are on sale right now. There are sales across, I think, all platforms. I saw Epic is having a sale too. So there's a ton of games that are on sale.
Cool.
Just like, you know, Borderlands 3 is also on sale. No Man's Sky. Hotline Miami is under $3. It's usually $5. So worth checking out all the game stores. If you see a game that's on sale, definitely pick it up, because it's, like I said, just a lot of games on sale for sure. Yeah. So
more games you buy and don't play.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I was like, I want Red Dead Redemption 2, but I just don't think I'll play it. And the reason why I won't play it is our next story. Is that Jedi Fallen Order is the fastest selling Star Wars game ever.
EA,
and it's a single player,
but still, EA's a single player.
Yeah, and it's single player. And I did pick it up. Was that yesterday?
Did I say yesterday.
Yeah, so I bought a new TV yesterday. I bought all kinds of stuff yesterday. I bought this game. I picked it up. I played it for about a half an hour. I love the story already. It's just very immersive. Like, I felt like I was playing. Like, the best thing about single player games is that you feel like you're playing a movie, right? Like, you feel like you're in the story, you're part of it. And I felt immersed. And that's the biggest thing. It's like, I didn't feel like I was sitting here at my computer, if that makes sense. Like, I felt like I was in the story. So that's what's great about this game so far. I'll update you guys next week if I get some more time to play it. So they said, EA, LucasArts, and Respawn said that it's the fastest selling digital launch for a Star Wars game in its first 2 weeks. EA also said it's the fastest selling PC game for the company in all distribution formats in the same 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's really impressive. I think the biggest thing is, like, Battlefront was cool when it came out, but so many people complain there isn't a single player mode. Like, we want, like, right, Star we want Wars,
the story,
the Star Wars is such a story driven, you know, franchise. Absolutely. And like, you want to play as a Jedi and go through a story. You know,
yeah, no, it is cool. You know, I didn't play either one of the Battlefronts, and I kind of wish I did, because I think they looked great and they still probably do.
And the multiplayer aspect of those was amazing. But I think this is something that we needed, you know what I mean? Like, a good single player Star Wars game. So, like I said, I like it so far. I don't know, like I said, I can't give you much more than that, you know what I mean?
Sure,
but like I said, I would recommend it so far if you want a single player experience. That's the biggest thing too, is like, you kind of just want to like play a game. You don't want to play against other people and
get frustrated. You can put it down and come back to it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah. So if you haven't got it, I would suggest picking it up. I'll let you know how it goes as I get through it in these next coming weeks and everything like that. And then the old man said the Valve Index is $4.99. Wasn't it $1,000?
I don't think so.
I thought it launched at 1,000 when it was announced. I could be wrong. Yeah. And then Old Man also said the actor for Fallen Order is upset on Twitter because people are replacing his character with mods.
It was $1,000.
Yeah. So it's $4.99 now?
Yeah.
That's compelling. But I don't think I'd pick it up. That leads us to what we have coming up next week, and I didn't get to it this week, so I will be checking it out next week. I'll be taking a look at Cooler Master's Master Air MA620M. This is their big boy CPU cooler. It's a dual tower cooler with a fan in the center. Has some RGB lighting and everything like that. Looks really good. So I will have that for you guys. And then I'll be taking a look at the HyperX Fury RGB DDR4 memory. So they've added RGBs to this. It looks pretty good as well. So I'll have that for you. And then I will be taking a look at a PCI Express 4.0 NVMe drive from Sabrent. And this one has a massive cooler on it. It's huge. And it has heat pipes, which I think is really cool and retro, I guess, for all of us old schoolers out there. But yeah, so I have that for you as well. Super fast. Of course, it's PCI Express 4.0. So I'll be testing that on X570. So pretty pumped for that as well. Yeah. And as we get to the end of the podcast, we talk about if we did anything cool, anything tech related. Did you do anything, see anything, pick anything up?
I saw Frozen 2 in the theaters last weekend. So that was with the kids. It was actually pretty good. I wasn't pumped.
Kayla asked me to, like, she's like, I don't know if she asked me to go see it or she was going to go see it with her friends. I was like, I'll pass on that one.
No, it's good. It's fine. The soundtrack isn't as good as the first one.
I think it's a better movie either.
Than the first one. So, but I've also been like, so a while back I brought home like some VHS tapes and a bunch of like 8mm, like 90s Sony camcorder tapes. And I'm in the process of converting those and just getting them off of tapes and onto my NAS and onto the network just to.
Now, how are you doing that?
FireWire off of the Sony camera. So I have a Sony camera hooked up to another PC with a FireWire card. And the thing that sucks about it is it's tape. So you have to like play the tape to pull it. It's just like, it takes forever. So I just like keep an eye on them. But I think I did 11 tapes last weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we'll get there.
Those projects are cool. And you do want to save those memories. And of course, the way to do that is to have a digital copy.
Yeah.
Because even the tape goes bad.
I have some tapes that I found that, have definitely deteriorated over the years and lost some of the video, but the audio portion of the tape is still there. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I did my desk setup, as I said.
Yeah. You spent like a whole day rearranging your desk, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. So if you guys watch the desk video, which again is linked, it's linked in our show notes, which are linked below if you're watching on YouTube. That whole 6 or 8 minute video took me literally all day. I started in the morning. I cleared out everything. And of course, as I'm doing it, I have to shoot it as well.
Yeah, you got
to
shoot and set up the,
Yeah, but
lighting and camera.
The biggest thing was the cable management took forever, but I'm so glad I did it. Like, it looks so much nicer in here without cables everywhere. Everything has its own place. It's so great. So that's pretty much what I did. Working on reviews. Got some more video content, review content coming out for you guys. We started this last week, but hopefully we'll continue it as long as Ryan likes to play games. But we will be switching over to Twitch here. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we'll be playing some games. So hopefully we can watch Ryan be bad at games. And I'll be joining him for a little bit over there. So definitely check that out after we get off here. If you are looking for us, which just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app, website, whatever it may be. So until next week, we will catch you guys later.
See ya.